I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, chapter 10, Hosea chapter 10, for the message tonight. I have preached a lot of messages out of Hosea in the last several years, and never tire of this great prophecy. And of course, in our study of the second coming of Christ, we have looked at several parts of this great book. And I want to have you look now at the 10th chapter, and I'll begin reading in the first verse and read a few verses and then skip down and read a few more in the middle or at the end of the chapter. But if you look at verse 1, scriptures here say, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, he shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth-Aven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. Now jump down, please, to verse 12. Verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalmon spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her son. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. All right, I want to speak to you tonight primarily from verse 1 and verse 12 and kind of pull these two verses together. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for your blessings upon us as we open the Bible and look at its truths. And Father, tonight I pray that you will bless the message and help me as I speak. I need your help tonight. And Lord, I pray that you will guide and direct and just lead me to say what will help someone here tonight get a little glimpse of what could be done for the Lord and, Lord, why it should be done. And I pray that you will bless the message in a great way. And Lord, we need to hear from heaven tonight. And as we think about that, at the end of this week, we start a new year. And Lord, all the opportunities that are before us, and I pray that you will challenge our hearts tonight to want to take advantage of all those opportunities that are ours. So bless us, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to understand that Hosea was God's last effort to reach Israel. By the time Hosea comes on the scene, Israel and Judah are divided. There is the northern tribes of Israel to the north, and Hosea was sent to them. You will remember that Israel fell first. They fell to the Assyrians. And Judah remained intact, and it was not for several years later till Judah fell to the Babylonians. And so Hosea was God's prophet to Israel. And you need to understand that Hosea was God's last effort to reach Israel. He was the last prophet that God sent to the 10 northern tribes with the intent of getting them to repent of their sin and to come back to the Lord. We read in this book how God used Hosea's family, his wife, as a picture of how Israel had went away from God and had been an adulteress, spiritually speaking, and God used Hosea and his wife as a picture as she left him and went out into sin. And so Israel had strayed tremendously away from God. And their hearts were given over to Baal and to the all of the idolatry that's connected with it. And when this happened, God's heart was broken. God pointed out to Hosea for him to see, to sense how he felt with his wife abandoning him and going to strange men. And God said basically to Hosea, now what you feel in your heart is how I feel towards Israel. I am brokenhearted over this. Now, by the time you get to chapter 10, you will read basically God's appeal and God trying to convince them that they need to come back and that if they don't, judgment is coming. So in chapter 10 and verse 1, he says to them that Israel is an empty vine. Israel is an empty vine. And in other words, there is no fruit. There is no spiritual fruit that is found anywhere. Folks, I wonder when God looks at America today, I wonder if maybe the Hosea 10:1 doesn't sometimes come to his mind. He looks at America today and asks, where's the fruit? Now, the Jews were and still are today a nation of farmers. And as we have learned over the years, it was a very common thing for God to take an illustration from their familiar lifestyle and use it as a means of instruction and guidance and to use it as a way to call them back to himself. And this chapter is a call for Israel to come back to God. This chapter is a call for revival in the land. If you look down at the 12th verse, God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that what is needed in our country, more than we need anything else, we need a spiritual revival. We need a revival among God's people. More than we need reform in this country, we need revival even more. More than we need to be transformed, as they're saying, we need to have a revival, a spiritual turning back to God. And if we would have in our country a revival and a spiritual turning back to God, we would then see the transformation that is so needed in our land. More than we need new programs, we need revival. More than we need more money or more energy or better gas prices or better roads or better highways or better anything else, we need revival more than anything. I think a true revival has two aspects to it. First of all, the first aspect of revival is how it impacts the church. And we need a revival in our churches. We need a revival right here in the Church of the Open Door. We need a revival across America. Our churches have gotten away from the Word of God and gotten away from church as it's described in the Bible. And church all over America today has become nothing more than just another form of entertainment for people. And I just don't think that God's in all that kind of stuff. I just don't see it. I've read the Bible, I've studied the Bible, and I just don't see that anywhere in the Bible that church is geared and designed to be a type of entertainment for a bunch of worldly people. I just don't see that. I think church ought to be a place where we come and where we hear from God and we talk to God through prayer. But the first aspect of revival is how it impacts the church. And then secondly, how it impacts the community. I think a genuine revival, if we were to see a real genuine revival, it would have a definite impact upon our community. We often talk about how we should and could find ways to reach more people. But brethren, the way to do that is to have the Lord reach us and speak to our hearts. If our hearts were revived, then it will impact the community and folks will be saved. Now, notice that little phrase there in the middle of verse 12. He said, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Break up your fallow ground, it is time to seek the Lord. What in the world is fallow ground? Fallow ground is ground that has been plowed. It is a field that has been plowed. I mean by that, the farmer has put the plow in the ground and he has turned the soil over. But then it is just left that way. That's it. He just put a plow in the ground and turned the soil over, but then left it that way. In other words, it's unused. It is a field that has a great deal of potential, but once the soil is turned over, it is just left alone. Now, down in the southern part of our country, and even here in Maryland in the summertime, the sun just bakes the ground. Over in the Middle East, the sun just bakes the ground. And if a farmer was to plow a field and then have the soil turn over and then have the sun just bake it, it would harden it, and the ground would produce nothing but weeds. It is ground that should be producing, but it's not producing, and it just lays dormant and is useless. And so notice that God says through Hosea that Israel is an empty vine. It's an empty vine. And God says that it's time for Israel to break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Now let's think of this principle and think of how it relates to us from the standpoint of revival. If you have read your Bible at all, you know that God uses the ground as a way of illustrating the heart of man. God often uses soil in the Bible as a picture of the heart of man. And God is basically saying here that it's time to seek the Lord. And the way to do that is to break up the fallow ground of your heart. Break it up. The sun has baked it. The world has baked it. Sin has baked it. Our hearts have become hardened to the gospel. Our hearts have become hardened to sin. We see so much wickedness and debauchery. My dad and I were talking a couple of weeks ago when he was here. And we were talking about his dad, my grandfather, and we were talking about cell phones. And I was trying to get Dad to text message, but he won't do it. I tried, and he says, I can't do this. Yes, you can, Dad, you can. And I told him, I said, I'll go buy you a phone that has a keyboard on it. He's just got one of those old flip phones, you know, and he would have to sit there and push all the buttons. You remember how you used to have to do it? And I said, Dad, I'll go get you a phone that has one of a keyboard on it, and we can keep in touch all the time. I'll text you. You text me. I'll send you pictures of the kids. Let's do this. And no. We got to talk about my grandfather, and what my grandfather would think of all the technology that is available in our world today. It would just, you talk about somebody that would just be anti-technology. My grandfather would be. He would not want to have anything to do with any of it. And then we got to talking about the debauchery that is on television today. And how appalled our forefathers would be at all the garbage that is broadcast over the television. And so, we see it all the time. And the effect that it has upon us is that it hardens us. We just get to the place where we just accept sin and accept wickedness and accept debauchery as just the norm. And folks, it ought not to be that we accept as God's people who know right and know the Bible and know truth, we ought to stand up and be appalled by that type of behavior. And God is saying, hey, it's time to break up the hard soil of our hearts and realize that this world we live in is a wicked place. But wait a minute, we've got a Bible where that tells us we're to sow to ourselves in righteousness. We're not to sow into ourselves the world. We're not to sow to ourselves the sin and the wickedness of the world. We are to sow to ourselves righteousness. And right here is where you get your righteousness. Right here out of this book. And let God's word feed your soul. Now, you might remember the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And the sower went forth to sow. And the Lord gives us four types of soil where the seed fell. The seed, of course, is a picture of God's word. And in three of those soils, the Lord said there was absolutely no fruit whatsoever. None. The seed fell upon the soil and it got nothing. I mean, nothing was produced. But there was one out of the four. The Lord called it good soil. And when the seed fell in that soil, there was fruit. And folks, the seed, of course, is a picture of God's word. I think one of the reasons that we're not seeing fruit in our churches today is because our Christian folks who make up those churches are not reading their Bibles like they should be. I am just convinced that people don't read their Bibles today. I'm just convinced. I just don't think they do. You say, Pastor, I don't know how you could say that. I tell you how I could say it. I can say it because if we read our Bibles and knew the God of the Bible as the Bible presents our God, we would tithe. We would pray. We would win souls. We would be concerned about the condition of our church and of our hearts and of our children and of ourselves. I mean, we would just be different people if we'd read the Bible. But I don't think we do. I think if we read our Bibles, we'd get along better. I don't think you'd have all this fussing and bickering that goes on amongst God's people today. I don't think you'd have all that. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We wouldn't get offended at the drop of a hat if we loved the Word of God. We would not be these people that just fly off the handle and get all mad and angry every time something doesn't go the way we think it ought to go. We just wouldn't be like that. We would be different people if we loved the Word of God. So God says, right here, break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Folks, what would you think of a farmer who allowed his finest field to lay fallow year after year? Would you think him a poor farmer? Would you think him a lazy farmer? Would you think him an uncaring farmer? And yet, every Sunday, our churches all across this land are full of people whose hearts have been plowed by the gospel plow of God, and the seed has been sown, but because of the soil of their hearts being fallow, and because they just don't care that their hearts are fallow, the Word of God bears no fruit in their field. And folks, this is how Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, folks can come and sit and listen to the Word of God preached, and yet Sunday after Sunday and month after month and year after year, there is no fire and no zeal and no decisions and no fruit. And this is why you see folks year after year after year at the same spiritual level that they have always been in. It's simply because we have let our hearts go fallow. So what God is showing us here, folks, is the need for revival in our hearts. God is trying to get Israel to realize, hey, you need a revival in your hearts. You need to break up the fallow ground of your heart. The one thing that I wish we would all say as we stand here tonight looking into the face of a new year is that we're going to break up the fallow ground of our hearts and accomplish something for God in 2011. But we will not see it until first we break up the fallow ground. And we do this by confessing sin, by seeing the need for being broken before God, and realizing that we need the Lord daily in our lives. And then sowing the seed of God's word in our heart, seeing then the fruit begin to grow in our lives. Folks, that's what we need in America today. Man, Congress can sit down there and talk about all this stuff America needs. No, sir. What America needs is to get back to God. Notice God said, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, if we fail to break up the fallow ground of our hearts, when the rain comes, when the blessings from God comes, then it will not benefit us at all. If we have a hardened heart, when the blessings from God do come, then we're not benefited at all by that. Let me illustrate this, show you how we see this all the time. We gather here and we have a service, and we have the choir sing, and we have the testimonies, folks are getting blessed by the music and getting blessed by the news of people getting saved and kids riding the buses, and you didn't tell them about one of the little bus kids got loose this morning, called 911 from one of the church phones and then hung up. And during Sunday school, I had two really nice dressed police officers in my office wanting to know, looking at me, with their heads tilted down, why those kids were unattended. Oh, yeah, that was a good 20 minutes right there. That was a real good yuck yuck right there. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. We hear the testimony and we hear the songs and man, everything's exciting. And all of a sudden folks are saying amen. And then I get up and I start preaching and the word of God blesses hearts and folks start saying amen. And folks are blessed and having a wonderful time in God's house. And some old fallow ground Christian sits there and goes, when's he going to quit? Good grief. Look at the time. Man, he just has been up there yakking and preaching. He never stops. He's like the Ever-Ready Bunny. He just keeps going. And these people need to quit saying amen because all they're doing is making him go longer. Amen. Good grief. Doesn't he know the ravens come on at noon? I mean, come on. And, let me tell you something, Christian. There is never a Sunday when it doesn't rain around here. There's never a Sunday. I mean, I work hard to come in here and open the Bible and give you something from the Word of God. I've given you a pledge that I'm not going to come in here and waste your time. I've pledged to you that I'm never going to walk in here unprepared without knowing what God wants me to preach on. I'm not going to do that. You ever hear these preachers say, I'm just going to preach on what God lays on my heart. I tried that. God never laid a thing on my heart. I mean, no, I can't do that. I have to come in here knowing what I'm going to preach. I have to come in here knowing what I have before me. I have to know that this is what God wants. And folks, I pledge to you that I will always do that. But let me tell you something. When that happens, God is led and there's something there for you. And man, when that something comes, if your heart is fallow, if your heart is just so sun-baked and hard, it will not receive the seed, then really, you have wasted 45 minutes. Oh, come to church with your heart ready to receive the Word of God. Come to church knowing when I get there, that preacher's going to have something from the Bible. He's going to preach something from the Bible tonight. And man, you're sitting there like a sponge just soaking up the seed so that some fruit can be grown. I'm sure you've seen in Carroll County with all the farms we have where a farmer maybe has plowed one field and then let another lie fallow. I mean, he might have right next to it a field where he's plowed and planted and there's a good crop and much yield. But the fallow field, you notice it next time. It's got weeds on it. You notice it. He might have a field where he's plowed and sown some seed, and man, he's got crops growing there. He's got fruit growing there. But you look at the field right next to it, and there's nothing growing. It's just weeds. And the fallow field brings weeds and nothing that is profitable. He cannot bring in the harvesting equipment and gather up the weeds and hope to make a dime. He's not going to do it. You've got to have the seed sown in the good soil. And in this passage, God looked at Israel. And he saw them as nothing more than a fallow field. And his message was, it's time to break up your fallow ground. And so as we look forward to a new year, folks, as we look at all the prospects of a new year, and we need to begin it with a revival spirit in our hearts. Why don't you just allow God tonight to have access to your heart? Why don't you just say tonight, I mean, get a jump on it. Start 6 days early, if you will, and say, I'm going to go into 2011 with a Bible in my hand. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to pray and walk with God, and I'm going to let God do something in my heart. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. Break it up. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. And it's time to seek the Lord. Folks, I cannot overemphasize the necessity of praying for God, for God's blessing in your life. You cannot separate the matter of personal prayer and revival. You can't have one without the other. You know, I think there are two things that are necessary if we're going to have revival in our hearts. First of all, I think we must influence God. We must influence God. How do you do that? By prayer and reading your Bible. By prayer and reading your Bible. Secondly, you must influence men. You influence God, and then you influence men. And prayer is what influences God, and preaching and soul winning is what influences men. Preaching and soul winning. And we cannot depend upon one and not the other. Folks will say, well, you know, our preacher, he preaches the Word of God. You know, I just can't understand why more folks don't get saved. I just don't understand it. Somebody said to me, Pastor, I stood and looked around Sunday night and Friday night at the Christmas Eve service and said, Pastor, I saw a bunch of people I'd never seen in my life. I've never seen them. And I wonder how many of them here were unsaved. And this one guy said to me Friday night, said, Pastor, I don't understand how we didn't have 100 people saved tonight. Well, I've been thinking about that. You know, prayer is what influences God. Let me ask you, did you pray for the service? Preaching is what influences men. Soul winning is what influences men. And we cannot just depend upon one. Well, I know the preacher, he's going to preach a message. I can't understand why more folks don't get saved. Well, are we all doing our part? Are we all doing our part? Now, folks, I pledge to you, I'm going to preach the Word of God when you come. But now let's get behind that preaching and let's influence God. That's when revival is going to start. I mean, let's pray. Let's walk with the Lord. As you think about it through the week, and I hope you'll think about it often, pray for God to bless the Sunday services. Pray for God to bless the Tuesday night visitation. Pray for God to bless the Thursday night visitation. You may not come to that visitation, but you can pray for that visitation. Pray for God to do something. I think we need to influence God. And when we do, we will naturally influence men. Folks, maybe if every person in the building was fervently seeking the face of God and praying all week long for the rains to come, maybe we would see more people saved. Thank God for the 9 that did get saved Friday night. A fellow came up to me out in the hallway and he said, I've been going to church all my life. Ain't never heard anything like that. And I said, well, praise God. He said, that was so clear. He said, a child could understand it. And I said, yeah, one did right back here. Little old hand went up. One little old girl raised her hand, sitting right over here about where Larry is. One little old girl raised her hand, said she prayed with me. Well, even a child could understand that. I said, yeah, one did. He said, well, I can understand that. He said, man, you just pieced all that together. He said, I never thought of it that way, but it made perfect sense. And I realized that that's what I needed to do. And he said, I prayed with you tonight and I got saved. I said, well, hallelujah, sir. I'm glad to hear that. Folks, listen, I think it's time that we break up the fallow ground and give ourselves to God. I don't think we have as much time left to do something for God as we might imagine. I really don't. I really don't. I thought about this afternoon. If the Lord does not come back for another 20 years, I'm going to be surprised. I am. That's not going to shake my faith. I believe he's coming. If he waits 100 years and I die and go into heaven, I said at Brother Larry's funeral that the most surprised guy in the world on September 15th was Larry Stainer. He really was. The most surprised guy in the world. I mean, he probably woke up in heaven, just boom, and he was in heaven, and he probably looked around. He was the most surprised guy there. Whoa. Lord, not now. We got dinner reservations tonight at 6:15. Can you hear him now saying that? And I later found out they did have dinner reservations. It was their Wednesday reservation, the place where they eat on Wednesday down at the beach. Yeah. And it may be that, you know, the Lord's going to wait another 100, 200 years. I don't think so. And it may be that I'm going to go ahead and have to die and go to heaven. That's, well, you know, it's okay. I'm not against that. I'm not ready to die. Don't want to die yet. But if I do, it's okay. I'm going to heaven. Amen. But if the Lord doesn't come back in 2011, I'm going to be surprised. And if he doesn't, I'm going to look for him in 2012. If he doesn't come in 2012, I'm going to look for him in 2013. Because I do believe with all my heart he's coming back. If I didn't believe that, I would never get up in this pulpit and preach again. And brethren, I don't think we've got as long as we think we do to get something done for God. Some of you folks have children who are not yet saved. Some of you have parents who are yet outside the fold. And I'm telling you, it's time to break up the fallow ground of our hearts so that we can see some of these folks saved before it's too late. One of our men stopped me this morning and said, Pastor, I'm going down to see my 83-year-old dad. And he said, my wife got me for Christmas an airline ticket to go down and visit him. He's Catholic to the core. And she got me a ticket to go and visit with him. And I'm going to go down and win him to Christ. Pastor, pray for his salvation. Everybody here, pray for that man's salvation. I'll let you know how it turns out. Pray for that man to get saved. Pray. It's time to break up the fallow ground. We've got loved ones that are yet outside the fold, and we need to break up the fallow ground of our hearts so that we can see some of these folks saved before it's too late. And notice, folks, notice what verse 12 says. Break up. What's the next word? What's the next? Your, right. This is personal. I mean your fallow ground. I was reading a couple of weeks ago back about the great preacher Jonathan Edwards, who preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Back in the 1730s in Massachusetts, he was pastoring a church, and he noticed that there was a great, great spirit of apathy in his church among the young couples in his church. And he got burdened over that. So he announced one Sunday that they were going to be having a special prayer meeting. And he said the reason for this prayer meeting is to pray for the great spirit of apathy that has overcome the young couples of our church. He said there is no fear of God before their eyes. Sounds like 2010, doesn't it? There is no fear of God before their eyes. So he called a prayer meeting on the following Saturday morning. And several people showed up and prayed through the morning. The next day, on Sunday, there was a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the service. And God began to move in hearts. And in his own words, Jonathan Edwards put this in his diary. And he said, scarcely a person, old or young, in the entire town was left unconverted or unconcerned about the things of God. Scarcely a person. Man, wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see that in Westminster? Wouldn't you like to see that in Carroll County? I mean, he went on to say, souls came by flocks to Jesus Christ. And within weeks, the whole town seemed full of the presence of God. What made the difference? I'll tell you what made the difference. A bunch of folks got on their faces and influenced the throne of God. They broke up the fallow ground of their hearts. The problem today is that we've grown comfortable just with depending upon the preaching. You don't have to worry. Pastor's going to preach a message from the Bible. Well, I appreciate that confidence you have in me as your pastor. But my friend, we all need to do our part. And we all need to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. I just can imagine what God could do. D.L. Moody had it written in the front of his Bible. And he said, the world is yet to see what God could do with a man who was totally consecrated to the Lord. And he said, I purpose to be that man. Oh, that we would say that tonight with a humble heart before the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord.